What does it mean for Christians in Ukraine right now that God is their wonderful counselor? I asked that question to a woman named Alicia who lives there.
Every time when I need to talk to my teenage daughter, when I need to answer my listener, and when they think that I'm so brave, when they think that I know everything, every time inside I say, God, you know how desperately I feel, how terrible, desperately lost sometimes I feel as a woman. And I just say, I should be strong. You'll be strong or you'll be dead, physically and spiritually now. So every time I choose to be strong and I say, God, the Holy Spirit, comfort my heart so I could serve my teenage naughty daughter. God bless me, Diana. I could comfort my listener who says it's bombing outside. Help me, Alyessa. How can I help her? I mean, I said, God, what can I do? And he comforts me and he gives me very short messages I try to send to my listeners. And yes, I pray a lot. I've never prayed in my life. I pray in every language I know. Sometimes I'm quiet, and when I'm quiet, I have the most intensive prayer. It is the level of pain when you do not have tears, when you do not have words, you're just silent. And in this silence, my soul cries to him.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth, author of The Wonder of His Name. For March 10th, 2022, I'm Dana Gresh. Nancy is leading us through a rich study called The Wonder of His Name, 32 Life-Changing Names of Jesus. And today she'll explore the next name in the series. First, a reminder that when you support Revive Our Hearts, you're helping us reach listeners like Rachel. She's a mother who lives in Kansas, and she recently contacted us in the wee hours of the morning. She said,
"My daughter has had many challenges tonight, and I've barely slept. My anxiety for her makes me fuss."
I think every mom understands this. Sure enough, she said, doubt and fear crept in.
"So I did all I know to do. I sat down with my Bible and turned to Revive Our Hearts."
She began listening to a podcast episode titled, "The Lord Reigns."
Maybe there's some storms that are threatening to take you under. Health challenges, family issues, a difficult marriage, prodigal child, caring for an elderly parent.
I was sitting there experiencing the very thing Nancy was talking about.
You see, here's the problem. We're more prone to believe what we see and feel than what God's Word tells us. Which is why we need to get our eyes and hearts off the news long enough and deeply enough to get our hearts and our eyes in this book.
Thank you for being instruments of God. His word is true. He is bigger than anything I walk through, but he knows I need messengers to remind me of that. At 4 a.m. this morning, God used you as a messenger. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Rachel, for encouraging us. Again, we're able to be a messenger in Rachel's life because of the faithful giving of our listeners, including the members of our monthly partner team. To be one of our monthly partners simply means you give at least $30 every month to support the work of Revive Our Hearts. And you pray for us, and you also spread the message of Revive Our Hearts to others. If you'd like to join the Revive Our Hearts monthly partner team, just check out reviveourhearts.com/partner. All the details are there. Again, go to reviveourhearts.com/partner. Now, let's join Nancy in the series, The Wonder of His Name.
We looked in the last session in Isaiah chapter 7 at the prophecy that a virgin was to conceive and to bear a son who would be called Emmanuel, God with us. Now, let me remind you of the context, because we're going to continue in the next few days with some more names for the Messiah that are found in the book of Isaiah. So the context there in Isaiah 7 and continuing over the next few chapters, this was the beginning of dark days for Israel. The Assyrian army was gathering on the northern border. And Israel, because of their sin and their idolatry and the fact that they had rejected Jehovah, Israel was facing hardship, exile. They were going to be deported. They were going to be sent out of the promised land. Circumstances were bleak, and the people felt hopeless and helpless. And as you come to Isaiah chapter 8, you see this very desperate time in which Israel was living. For example, Isaiah chapter 8, verse 22 talks about distress and darkness, the gloom of anguish, thrust into thick darkness. As you read that passage, you see that the people were angry at their leaders. They were angry at God. They were wondering, has Jehovah forgotten his people? Now, why would they wonder that? The people had forgotten Jehovah, right? But they're saying, has Jehovah forgotten us? They were wondering, is there any hope? And regardless of the reasons or the circumstances or what led up to it, maybe you find yourself today in a dark place, wondering if God is really there, wondering if God really cares. Well, then we get to Isaiah chapter 9 with that dark backdrop. We come to Isaiah 9, which tells us more about the Son that was promised back in chapter 7, Emmanuel, God with us. And Isaiah wants us to know more about this promised Son, this Messiah that would bring hope out of despair and light out of darkness. This promised Messiah, now remember, these prophecies were 700 years before Jesus was born. But the promise was that this coming Messiah would correspond exactly to the needs of the people. Whatever they needed, this Messiah would meet those needs. So we come to that very familiar passage in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For to us a child is born. We read about a child in Isaiah 7. A child would be born to a virgin. This is that same child. Behold, a child is born. Speaking of the humanity of Jesus. And to us a son is given. I think that speaks of the deity of Jesus, the fact that he would be God. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. This Messiah would be a king. This child, this son, born of a virgin, would be man, would be God, would be a king. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And so we have here four titles of the coming Messiah. And we're looking at three of those in this series on the wonder of his name, 32 life-changing names of Jesus. We want to focus today on that title, that name, Wonderful Counselor. Now, some of our older translations actually make this two names. They separate wonderful and counselor with a comma. You may have grown up hearing it that way as I did. But most of our modern translations combine the words into one title, Wonderful Counselor, which I think in the context probably makes more sense. But we want to look just for a moment at each of those words individually. First, the word wonderful. Now, we usually use this word as an adjective. It's a wonderful day. I had a wonderful time. A word that describes a noun. But as it's used here, this word wonderful is a noun. That is his name, Wonderful Counselor. This word wonderful in the scripture is used only of God, never of man. And in the Old Testament, you'll see this word often pointing to God's miracles and the extraordinary aspects of how he dealt with his people. For example, in Exodus chapter 15, who is like you, O Lord, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders? That's this word, wonders, extraordinary things that God does. This word wonder or wonderful, it's a miracle. It's an amazing deed or thing, something out of the ordinary that you can't explain. It's extraordinary. It's something that inspires amazement. Sometimes this word is translated marvelous. It's a wonderful thing, supernatural, beyond our human capacity to grasp. The fact that this Messiah would be Wonderful Counselor means that he is not commonplace. There's something unusual about him. He is wonderful, awesome, a wonder, an extraordinary thing, person, one that God has given to us. And as I think about that name, I want to ask, is he wonderful to us? Is he wonderful to you? Or have you done what so many of us do, and that is lose the wonder of who he is and what he has done? We hear the name so often. We sing it, we say it, we read it, and maybe that name becomes commonplace to us. My prayer through this series during these weeks leading up to Passion Week and Easter is that God will restore in our hearts the wonder of his name. His name is wonderful. He's a wonderful counselor. That means he's a wonder of a counselor. Amazing, supernatural. It reminds me of what Paul says in Romans chapter 11. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord or who has been his counselor? Isaiah chapter 11 is another prophecy about the Messiah, and it says, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. He is a wonderful counselor because he has the Spirit of God's counsel upon him. He is God, Christ, the wonderful counselor. And you remember how Jesus demonstrated unusual wisdom, even as a child. Remember in the temple at age 12, Luke 2 tells us after 3 days, his parents found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking questions. Well, that wouldn't maybe be so amazing, but verse 47 of Luke 2 says, all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. He wasn't just asking questions, he was answering the questions of these very intellectually brilliant religious leaders. He is a wonderful counselor. He is a wonder of a counselor. There is no one else like him. So as I've been meditating on this name, I've asked myself, what makes him such a wonder of a counselor? There are a lot of counselors, and there's some good counselors, but this text tells us in Isaiah that he surpasses all of them. He is the wonderful counselor. Why? Well, one reason is that he knows people. He has insight into the human heart. Jesus knows all about us, how we're wired, how we're motivated. Psalm 139 tells us that he knows our innermost thoughts. He knows our words before we even speak them. He knows our longings. Jesus knows us better than we know ourselves. John chapter 2 tells us that Jesus knew what was in the heart of man. And throughout the Gospels, you see that people marveled at Jesus' ability to know what they were thinking, to know what was in their hearts. He's a wonderful counselor because he knows people. He's a wonderful counselor, secondly, because he is able to understand our needs. And he understands our needs because he has walked in our shoes. He didn't just stay as this God up in heaven. He put on human flesh. He came down. He walked around and lived our life and died our death. And so Hebrews tells us that he is able to be a merciful and faithful high priest, that he is compassionate and he is sympathetic. He was tempted just as we are, only without sin. And so he's able to understand our need. He's able, thirdly, to diagnose our problem. That makes him a wonder of a counselor. And he's able to diagnose not just the surface symptoms that anybody can see, but he's able to penetrate and help us understand what are the root heart issues that need to be dealt with. Takes a great counselor to do that. And Jesus can do it perfectly. He's able to diagnose our problem. He's a wonderful counselor because he succeeded where we have failed. He succeeded where we have failed. Jesus, as he lived life on this earth, knew what it was to be wronged, to be sinned against, to be tired, to be lonely, to be disappointed, to be betrayed. But he never once sinned in his response. He was never bitter, never unforgiving, never sinfully angry, never selfish, never, you know, when I get tired, I tend to get really impatient. Jesus got tired, but he never got impatient. He succeeded where we have failed. That makes him a counselor who can help us with our need. And number five, he's a wonder of a counselor because he knows how to help us. He always gives wise and good and right counsel that is tailored to our specific situation and need and moment. He's not going to give you in your circumstance at this moment the exact same counsel that he's going to give you in your circumstance. Now, his counsel will always be consistent with his word. That's where you get his counsel. But he knows exactly what you need. He knows how to give tailor-made grace and counsel to each situation. He has all wisdom. He is God. He knows everything. He knows whether we need encouragement or rebuke or reproof or practical instruction. This all makes him a wonder of a counselor. He never has an unanswered question. He never needs anyone to give him input or help him know how to counsel. He never has to ask anyone else, "What do you think we should do?" Never. He always knows what to do. This wonderful counselor knows everything. There is no limit to his knowledge, his understanding. His counsel is always right. He is omniscient. He is an all-wise wonder of a counselor. And he's a wonder of a counselor because he will always tell us the truth. He doesn't just tell us what we want to hear, but he knows what we need to hear, and he'll tell us what we need to hear, even if we don't want to hear it. He'll tell us the truth about our real condition if we'll listen to him. He'll tell us the truth about the issues in our lives. He'll tell us where we've sinned. He'll tell us that we need to repent. He'll tell us how we can be delivered. He'll tell us how we can be made whole. I'll tell you, there are a lot of counselors today, and I don't mean just people counselors. I mean books and programs and things you can listen to that will give you gobbledygook or garbage or worse. Sometimes the counsel of this world will actually make you worse instead of better. But Jesus' counsel will always make you better because it'll be the truth. It'll be the medicine that you need. He's a wonder of a counselor because he offers himself as the solution for our needs. He's not just like a professor standing up in the front of a classroom or an armchair quarterback. He doesn't just tell us what to do. He's willing to walk and live with us by his Holy Spirit in us that enables us to live the life he counsels us to live. He gives us the grace by his presence within us. He offers himself as the solution for our needs. And he's a wonder of a counselor because he has a proven track record. His counsel works, and we've seen that happen over and over again, how he has proven to be an able counselor. Think of the woman at the well who had that string of broken relationships. Jesus knew exactly what counsel she needed, and it changed her life. Think of the thief on the cross or the demonized man who had lived in the tombs and had to be chained up to keep him from hurting himself or others. Think of the woman who was brought to Jesus having been caught in the act of adultery. Think of Nicodemus, the religious leader who came to Jesus at night for counsel. Think of the rich young ruler wanting to know how to have eternal life. All kinds of people, all kinds of walks of life, all kinds of needs and circumstances. Jesus gave each of those exactly the counsel they needed. So he is a wonder of a counselor. What's the take home for that? What's the takeaway? And each of these names, we want to know not just what does it mean, but what difference does it make for me? Let me give you a few takeaways about Jesus, the wonderful counselor. First of all, we need to acknowledge that we need a wonderful counselor, that we need wisdom and guidance. If you think you already have it all together and your life is going along just swimmingly fine, thank you, then you'll never go to the wonderful counselor. Proverbs says it this way: do you see a man who is wise in his own eyes? There's more hope for a fool than for him. We've got to acknowledge that we need a wonderful counselor. And then number two, turn to him for counsel. Where do you turn for counsel? When you're really desperate, where do you go? Who do you listen to? Turn to the wonderful counselor. Turn to his word. Turn to prayer. Turn to his spirit. Ask him, what should I do? How do I deal with this? He has come to this earth and to live in us to be our wonderful counselor. He's come to direct you, to advise you according to his perfect and sovereign will, the eternal plan and counsel of his will. His counsel is wonderful. You will never, ever get better advice anywhere else. Turn to him. And isn't it great to know that he's a counselor we always have with us by his Holy Spirit who lives in us? You don't have to call him up to get an appointment. You don't have to wait, 4 weeks on the waiting list till an opening comes up to get into this counselor. You don't have to take your checkbook with you or pay $150 an hour for wonderful counsel 24/7. And all you've got to pay is a humble heart, a listening ear, a willingness to say yes, Lord, to his counsel. He's available. Elisha Hoffman was a pastor who lived in the late 1800s. And one day he visited with a woman in his church who had experienced a lot of hardships and sorrows and was deeply discouraged. As they visited, she shared the things that were on her heart, and then she said, "Brother Hoffman, what shall I do?" Well, the pastor quoted to her some scripture, and then he said to her, "You can't do better than to take all of your sorrows to Jesus. You must tell Jesus." And then Elisha Hoffman said this later as he reflected on that conversation. He said, "For a moment, this woman seemed lost in meditation. Then her eyes lighted as she exclaimed, 'Yes, I must tell Jesus.' He said, 'As I left her home, I had a vision of that joy-illuminated face, and I heard all along my pathway the echo, 'I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus.'" Well, after he got home, Elisha Hoffman wrote these words, which I have sung many times over the years, and many times these words have pointed my own heart to the wonderful counselor.
"I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, he kindly will help. He ever loves and cares for his own. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus. I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus. Jesus can help alone."
Aren't we so quick to tell everybody else our problems? Pick up the phone, call somebody, email somebody, text somebody, "Help, I need help." I sent an email out last night to some friends saying, "Help, I need prayer." And I'm thankful that we can go to God's people and to wise counselors and say, "Can you point me to help?" But listen, the best help and counsel you're going to get from any of them are as they point you to the wonderful counselor. Turn to him for counsel. But not only turn to him, trust his counsel. Don't just turn to him for counsel, but when he gives you the counsel, trust his counsel. His counsel is a wonder. Depend on him. Rely on him. He will never mislead you. Trust in the Lord, Proverbs says, with all your heart. And don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Now, I'll just tell you that his counsel is generally counterintuitive to our natural wisdom and thinking. So when your emotions tell you, as mine were telling me this morning, be angry about this, be upset about this, keep mulling it over in your mind, and keep thinking about this, the wonderful counselor says, let it go. Let it go. Whose counsel are you going to take? Your own mind, your own heart, or that of the wonderful counselor? Trust the wonderful counselor. Do you try to advise him, or do you let him advise you? Do you try to tell him how to run the universe? Tell him what you need or what you think you need? Or do you humbly look to him to guide your life? Do you ask him to approve your plans and your direction, or do you seek him for his? You can trust the wonderful counselor. And then take his counsel. turn to him for counsel, trust his counsel, and then take his counsel. In other words, do what he tells you to do. Think of the opposite of that in Proverbs chapter 1, where the scripture says, "You have ignored all my counsel. You would have none of my reproof." May that never be said of us, that Jesus gave us his counsel. He gave us himself. He gave us his word, but we ignored it. Take his counsel. Listen, no counselor can help you if you don't know that you have a need, or you won't admit that you do, if you're not willing to ask for help, if you're not willing to listen to and take the counsel, if you won't do what the counselor says, if you think you know better, if you ignore what he says, if you try to treat yourself, no counselor can help you. And the wonderful counselor will not help you unless you turn to him for counsel. And then finally, as you are blessed by shaping your life by his grace around his wonderful counsel, then point others to him for counsel. Listen, remember, you are not the wonderful counselor. You are not the Savior. Your counsel is limited. Your wisdom is finite. So don't try and advise others out of your own wisdom. Instead, point them to him. Say, you know what? I don't know what to do, but I know someone who does. Let's ask him. And then pray with him. Say, let me take you to the throne of grace where you can find mercy and grace to help you in your time of need. Let's get into God's word together. Let's see what it has to say about this. Let's ask the wonderful counselor, and he will indeed give wonderful counsel.
Nancy DeMoss-Wolgemuth will be right back to pray. She's been explaining why Jesus is the wonderful counselor. To see part of this teaching on video, visit reviveourhearts.com and find a link in the transcript of today's program. It's part of the series, The Wonder of His Name, 32 Life-Changing Names of Jesus. This series is designed to help you get to know Jesus better. We're airing it during the season leading up to our observance of his death and the celebration of his resurrection next month. And not just knowing about him, we want you to know him personally and be in awe of who he is. Nancy's book, also called The Wonder of His Name, will help you know Jesus through 32 of his life-changing names. You'll read a devotional for each of these names and enjoy the beautiful artwork of Timothy Botts. As you meditate on who Jesus is, you'll be in awe of him, fall more deeply in love with him, and I think you'll trust him even more. We'll send the book, The Wonder of His Name, when you support Revive Our Hearts through a donation of any amount. Your gift helps make it possible for us to continue bringing you the podcast version of Revive Our Hearts. If you appreciate hearing Nancy's teaching, would you help this ministry continue? When you donate any amount, ask for The Wonder of His Name. The website is reviveourhearts.com or call us at 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Do you ever worry about the future? Are you frustrated and surprised at ungodly decisions among powerful people or government leaders? Tomorrow, Nancy will explain why you don't have to fear. Now she's back to pray.
Oh Lord, we join with the psalmist in saying, I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. We love you, Lord Jesus. You are our wonder of a counselor. Amen.
Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss-Wolgemuth, calling you to freedom, fullness and fruitfulness in our wonderful counselor.